is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
I have to expound on what Pat just said because it was so funny.
What I say?
We record the podcast in my office, which is kind of soundproof. And the dog, it's my office. So the dog lives in here with me.
Yeah. I mean, the dog lives wherever you are and you pretty much live in the office.
He's got two baskets of toys in here and he wants you to empty them and he will tell you. And Pat was like, oh, I don't want to get up again because what'd you say? You trained me like a hoe.
Yes. Like a hoe, man.
Those
words are so passe now. Now we have to talk about,
you can't say hoe.
You can't say pimps and hoes, but where I wrote a paper. It's a real story. By the way, welcome to the podcast, folks. Welcome to 2026.
Boats and hoes.
We're going to start
by talking about hoes.
We're going to start off this lovely podcast by getting into a paper that, this is episode 286, by the way. I went to Columbia College Chicago. It was a liberal arts performing arts school for my undergrad, right? And it was like an anthropology class, or sociology, which I really enjoyed. Talk about a precursor to what I do later in life, right? But
that's so funny. My sociology class in college was one of my favorites, too.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
And it was one of those moments where I'm like, should I explore this?
Right.
And I didn't. I should have.
I wrote my final paper on, at the time, and this is, I have to just say, you know, we're talking the years 96 through 99, 2000.
Did you write a paper called Pimps and Hoes?
I wrote a paper on, at the time, a very groundbreaking HBO documentary, and that's why I have to tell you what years this is, because now documentaries come out 47 times a day.
Right.
There's 13 new ones that came out in 2 minutes since we started this podcast because everybody puts together documentaries, but they used to really be like a big deal. And there was one that hit HBO that was called Pimps Up, Hose Down. And it was amazing because one, it was like this dude really spent years documenting and forming relationships with pimps and hoes and getting into their worlds. And it was, again, it's pre-internet shit. Like, now everyone knows everything. Everyone even knows that wrestling is fake, you know, like, because the wrestlers tell you on Instagram, right? But it was at the time so groundbreaking. And the dude who did it, what the weirdest part was, it wasn't like Ken Burns and he narrated in like a sing-songy way, almost like beat poetry, but it was like, I'm not going to do it justice. And you guys are all going to go on YouTube and look up Pimps Up, Hose Down after this. I know you are. Go ahead. It'll be great. But the guy narrated something like, so there on a Friday night, it got cold in the dark light.
Is this like blaxploitation?
It was somewhere between like really already, you know.
All right, get to the hose part. I'm confused.
I wrote a goddamn paper in my sociology about pimps and about this documentary, so I learned everything about it. And at the pimp ball, it's a real thing. Still happens. You can look it up. They have this pimp ball. They give out an award for the pimp of the year. And this is the part where it gets fucked up, where it's like kind of entertaining to a point. They're like, ugh. And these days, that's why we call it like human trafficking. The pimp of the year, one of the big reasons why he won, because he had, you know, they all walk in with their hoes and shit, and the guy had like four or five girls. They all looked down at all times.
Oh, that's weird.
So like he had trained them that much that they just looked down. And then that's when you kind of look at it, you go, Jesus Christ, how does someone like psychologically and mentally get broken down like that? And then I just realized right now, before I can actually sit down and hit record on this podcast, like, I'm pretty much psychologically trained by the dog.
And by me.
A little bit. You're in recovery. Okay. You're short-term. You're short-term pimping me.
But
he's long-term pimping me.
Since you went off the rails, I was going to thank you.
Yes.
For helping with the hoe thing. Since you're my hoe, I guess.
I am.
I was going to thank you and our son.
Yes.
We are about halfway through my recovery from foot surgery.
Are we? I've been guessing. I always thought we were like approaching the halfway mark.
No,
I didn't
we
feel
are
like
halfway.
We're there.
By
I felt
the time,
like it was the 12th or 14th.
Yeah, I had my surgery on December 12th.
Okay.
So this will be a month out. Mm-hmm. And I've got about 4 more weeks-ish. I wanted to thank you guys for being so damn helpful because being off one of your feet is incredibly difficult. And I knew it would be, but it is really, really hard. And I wanted to say thank you. Wow. I had a
amazing.
I had an NC fusion, which is where they fuse the joints on the top of my foot. And then they did, it's called a gastro something, where they basically cut into your calf and elongate the muscle so that you don't have so much tension. You don't have so many problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to be off it till February 3rd. So we are at the halfway point, and you and our son have been so awesomely helpful.
I feel like I've been kind of a dick about it. Like
you
sometimes.
Were only a dick the other night.
And
if you're, and you know, if you're part of my French, if you're motherfucking me on the way to do something for me, that's fine.
No, you know, no, definitely not now. I motherfuck you a lot of times, silently in my head.
I motherfucked you this morning.
This morning. God,
you know
damn, what did I do this morning?
The only time I motherfucked you.
Hold on. I've only been up since like 11:30. It's my day to sleep. I've been up for like 2.5 hours.
And this is the only time I motherfucked you.
Is it because we're grieving Bobby Weir? I mean, why are you upset with me?
No, it's because every time I go to make coffee and I rarely make coffee for myself because I'm just not, there's no water left.
There's no water in there. Yeah.
Every single time.
It's a K-cup thing.
I'm amazed the few times there's enough water in there for my cup of coffee. But that's it. So I just want it seriously.
Isn't that funny when you silently like just fucking say the rudest shit about your partner? See, that's where you know
you feel bad instantly.
You feel bad. But you've evolved, right? This is like the evolution of the dude who used to jump out of his car and try to whoop someone's ass in traffic.
Yeah.
And now he just sits in the car and says the most
things.
Horrible things.
Vile things.
So you like we're progressing. Yeah. Like, you know, you don't say it to the person, you say it in your head. That's funny. I didn't know.
I want you to know that every time I've asked for something in the last month, I have felt bad about it.
Oh, please.
But it usually happens like right after I've sat down and I put my foot up and I've got ice on it. It hurts. It is a painful recovery. I will tell you that.
It is, you know, it is literally, I do feel little bit just because again I mean she has limited mobility so there's lots of little things and I feel like you know the meme we've seen a million times now of you know my wife silently waiting for me to sit down so she can ask me to do one more thing
that's what we're looking
but it's
at.
Like I can't real but I'm not hating on her for it because I'm like well yeah duh she's recovering from a foot surgery
I mean it's so stupid it becomes like I sit down and my phone is like
just something
4 feet
I mean,
away
yeah,
from
that's,
me
that's what it is it's like phones chapstick
it's so much
my watch a Kleenex
I want you to try and get up off the couch or off your bed or wherever with one foot. That's what I have to do. I have to pull myself up with this knee scooter. It's a bitch. So when something is like 4 feet away and I've got somebody else to grab it for me, I will ask. I feel guilty.
Well, that's what we're here for.
But I appreciate you guys so much.
It's all right.
We're at the halfway point.
Our son is finally getting smart. He's bailing. He's going back to school. He's fuck like, this.
I remember the day I picked him up.
He's like, I'm done.
To come home for Christmas. And he's like, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want nothing, but I will ask. For your help.
I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad.
After this foot surgery. He has been very helpful.
I'm just glad he asked you because that was one of my tasks as a father when my child turned 18. You know, I'm like, dude, you got to grow the fuck up and like buy, you know, the people you care about presents. Like, it's no longer on us.
That's all I wanted.
You're no longer involved on like the card, right? Like, you have to like do it yourself. And I go, no offense. Once you're at your age,
you
can't make the homemade card.
No.
I don't know what age that ends.
What age do you think?
Like 11, 12?
I'll still take a homemade
you
card.
You take a homemade
But, you know, something attached to it's nice, too.
I want you, just because I know how awesomely, in a very fun way and generational way, your mom's a, like, materialistic person.
Yeah.
She loves stuff. Anything AJ offers her, she's like, yes.
I want it.
I want it. I want you, for your mom's next birthday, even though I know you're going to get her shit and plan stuff, I want you to just make her, like a basic construction paper card and give it to her. And
see,
you will see quickly, she'll be like, okay.
Listen, I'm a good artist, okay? I'm a really good artist. Yeah.
But that's funny. So
you know what? That's interesting you say that because she did ask me when we moved here.
are you getting me?
No. When she came to the house.
Do I get a housewarming party?
When she came to the house for the first time, She was, and this is also a Midwest thing versus Southwest.
Yes.
She goes, where's all the rest of your stuff? And I'm like, what do you mean the rest of my stuff? She goes, where's the basement? Don't you just store everything in the basement?
Oh, yeah. She had to figure out the no basement
rule. And I'm like, we don't have a basement. So everything you see here in the house and the garage is everything we have. And we have had to downsize. But yeah, you're right.
She's very into stuff. So that generation is into stuff.
And then they leave it to all of us and we don't want it.
And then we throw it away. Or we hang on to it long enough to be vintage. I've hit that point now because I've started doing this fun thing. And I don't know if this has happened yet for you guys in Milwaukee. I don't think so. But, you know, Chicago, as much as you guys all love to fucking beat us up, even though you've never come there, there's a huge like boom in housing, and houses that I grew up in are going for obnoxious amounts of money.
A tiny little bungalow is going for $500,000
$1 million in Chicago.
Just because it's close to Chicago.
Right.
Most of them aren't even in Chicago. It's like the suburb just outside of Chicago.
Yeah, like what the fuck? And the basement, but to that point, your mom looks at basement as like where you put your stuff.
Where you put your shit, yeah.
And you know, when I was coming up, when I was growing up in those bungalows, the basement was just full of stuff. People weren't fixing them up now.
Because I'm curious, because I don't think the same thing is happening quite in Milwaukee.
I don't think you guys are getting that kind of spike yet, because it's stupid in some parts of Chicago. So like, it's fucking stupid. They're pushing. I never thought I'd hear about this.
It's happening.
Is it happening? Happening
Holy shit, somebody bought it, too. My grandparents' house on the south side of Milwaukee.
The south side house, no shit. How much did it go for?
They have a my grandparents had a bungalow on the south side of Milwaukee near Bayview, if you know where that is.
It's a basic south side house. I love it. It reminded me of the south side of Chicago so much.
Their basement.
Mm-hmm.
When I say their
dirt floor.
It was a dirt floor.
It was fucking dirt floor.
And I know there was, but I was never allowed to go down there because I know they let their dogs go down there to shit and pick it up. But there was also just so much stuff down there. Like, it was like, it wasn't just like a basement.
It was just stuff,
It might as well have been a dungeon because
They were all totally dungeons.
Do not.
They were not living spaces. No. They were dungeons.
And it wasn't like, go to the basement and get this. It was like, don't you ever. Mm-hmm. I'd never been in their basement. Their little bungalow on the south side of Milwaukee sold in April of last year for $400,000.
Look at that! Wow.
400 grand. That's more than our house.
And that's last year. That's 2025?
That's 2025.
So that means like interest rates were still above like 5 and 6. Holy shit.
When was that house built?
Who fucking bought that thing for that, huh?
400 grand. Are you okay, people? Jesus.
Give the address of it just so like Milwaukee people know. Like you'll know where we're talking about.
2710 South Greeley Street.
Yeah. So like
if you know where that is, you will shit your pants.
Oh my God.
So the same thing's happening in Chicago.
My grandparents' house, which had not dirt floor basement, but it was like tiled, but that's about it, right? Yeah. There was like the washer, the dryer, and then what would happen is their shit, as it aged, because they were old Polacks who couldn't throw anything away, you couldn't get rid of the 1960s furniture when you bought the 1980s furniture.
Yeah.
So you put the 1960s furniture in the basement. Yeah. No one ever sits on it down there, but you have it down there. Yeah. And now I'm looking at those houses, which, by the way, I wish I would have held on to that shit. At the time when they died, I'm like, we just need to get rid of it. Now that we're like 25 years past, people would have cut off their left arm for some of the weird shit that my grandparents had in their basement. But I mean, now these houses are like totally like the basements aren't even storage space.
No.
I mean,
I really wonder what they did to the basement of that house.
Because, oh, you know, it's done. For 400 G's, that basement's a fully functional living space right now.
My aunt bought that house for my grandma basically to continue living in after my grandpa died. And after my grandma died, I know she ended up moving into it. They redid the entire interior of the house.
Okay.
Because it really was a disgusting hot mess.
It was the old person's house, right? This is the one that they talk about that the kids inherit. And they're like, fuck.
A dirt floor basement, indoor smoking for 40 years. They redid the entirety of the interior of the house. And I wonder what they did with the basement. I don't think they did anything with the basement, but there was a third floor.
There was a third floor that there was a living space. That's wild.
But so I'm just sitting here thinking, so these people, whoever bought it, and bless you, that house is so near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
But I wonder, so you bought a house with a dirt basement for $400,000.
The fuck is going on?
But
you know what? They could look at us and go, you paid how much for a house with
without
no basement?
Without a basement.
The fuck is wrong with you?
I know.
Seriously, I told my dad.
People cannot believe we don't have a basement here.
I told my dad. My dad lives in rural Iowa now. He just had to move for like the first time in his life.
Yeah.
And not that he moved from like an old folks home, but he's just in a much smaller house.
He used to have like a size.
He had a hobby farm. So, you know, old stroked out man can't have a hobby farm anymore. So he lives in like a little house. And when I showed him, because God bless America, we have Apple Maps. I think we talked about this before.
I love going on Apple Maps and looking at people's houses.
I go, oh, Dad, I go, well, here's my, you know, and last time I saw him in person, I go, well, here's the house we bought. And all he saw was the way the Arizona houses, specifically where we are in a master planned like HOA kind of thing. He sees how we're like asses to elbows.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, you paid how much for a house where you can look into your neighbor's bat? Like to him, a guy who used to have like 10 miles in between him and his neighbor, he was just floored.
The houses are too close together. There's, I mean, there's,
you
find a house with a basement here and it's rare. Like I'm on all these realty pages just to see what's for sale. Cause you know, someday we might want to move. But yeah, when they like that, they charge like $50,000, $60,000 more for houses that have a basement around here because it is so rare.
Yeah.
People turn their garages into their basements.
I would say a lot of people convert garages. What they'll do is they
use it either for stuff. They stuff it to the brim and park their cars in the driveway because the weather does allow you to do that. There is no bad weather here, really. It's just really hot.
I mean, it will kind of beat your car up
in the summer,
but outside of those 9 months.
I mean, you've seen it. These people around us will open their garage and all you see is a wall of boxes or, like you said, they turn it into like a man cave, like a living space.
Oh, trust me. I toured when I was kind of the scout, right? It was like back in the 1800s when you had to send one guy from the company out west to go look at things and he had a telegram back to the boss. When I was out here looking at houses and I toured a few, you could see kind of the evolution of how we need more space. Like there are these awesome Southwest adobe houses here, old school. And then somewhere in like the 80s, someone said, fuck that garage, we're going to make it into a business office.
Yeah.
And you would see these houses that I would tour where they would say, we're four bedrooms. And you're like, that thing was built as a three bedroom.
Well, and I know we've talked about this before too, but like down here, a modular home down here is not what it is in the Midwest.
Oh, modular homes are great down here.
It was something I didn't understand.
Don't do it around tornadoes. Listen, all my Midwest people. You got to stop living in modular homes where there's tornadoes.
You don't have any basement.
Yeah, you need to get somewhere where there's nothing like that's going to blow your house down to come out here.
No, modular homes down here are like really nice.
They are.
And when Pat was like, I looked at a few modular homes, I was like, ew, God, no, why,
Dude,
but
I didn't understand
how different they are down here than the Midwest.
I found a modular home on a little piece of property, not big, like, you know, maybe like 2 acres or something, but trust me, you know how we live now, and I shit you not, I think we have like 0.32 acre that we live in. It was a little bit of space, but it was a modular home, and it was totally, God, this is why I may just go look for homes for fun, just because I like getting into people's houses. You guys like doing it on Zillow, but it's way more fun to get in person. I think I looked at some kind of fundamentalist person's house.
Wow.
Because it looked like they had like one of the rooms was converted into a school room. Like they had a chalkboard on and like little desks. And then the one room you could tell would be a kid's room had like fucking three sets of bunk beds.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, they got mad kids. They're educating them at home. I'm like, total kooks.
This
but I'm
big
like,
big Mormon community down here.
I'm like, they're probably leaving because they read something in a tweet. They're like, we need to get in the bunker. So, but in that home, I thought it was cool. But yeah, my wife looked at that. She goes, modular home. She goes, sir, I am from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. I don't know if you know, but one of the shittiest governors lives in Wauwatosa.
Listen, my impression of a modular home were those modular home parks in like Burton, Michigan, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Not the nicest place. That's the only impression I ever had. My uncle lived in a modular home, and I just remember.
Did your uncle live in a modular
home? My uncle David. You
never met
didn't
him.
Really.
No.
I don't think you met him.
No, I didn't.
But they were just in the Midwest. They could be so dumpy. And here they are so different and so nice. I didn't know what to expect. See, I wasn't expecting, like, the modular home communities here, they have, like, community swimming pools. They have a ton of palm trees. They have, like, restaurants, little grocery stores inside them. They have, like, dance studios. I mean, it's different down here than it is in the Midwest. So I didn't know.
The land of retirees, of course, looking to live out their golden years, man. Yeah. Do you, I don't know. Is it weird? Do you ever want to go back to those houses? Cause there's a saying, you know, you can't go back again. Do you want to hit my vape pen?
Blowing your smoke just because it's fun.
Blowing it away.
No, I'm okay. Do I want to go back to what houses?
Like just all the houses that we all have those houses. Hopefully if you had a somewhat positive childhood and growing up that you're like, oh, that's the house that I grew up in. Whether it's, you know, one you were in for 2 years, for 20 years. And then usually, by some means they get sold and you move on. And now we have this weird way where we can check in on Zillow or we can go on Apple Maps. And I feel like there's a part of you. And maybe this is just me because, you know, I'm like the guy who hasn't lived in his hometown for 25 years. But I think, man, I'd love to go back and get inside that house.
Yeah.
But then you go, it's not going to be the house that I remember.
No.
And that's the part where you don't want to, you know.
I've had this recurring dream since my dad died. And I had it last night. Again, it happens multiple times a week. Because I sold my parents' house while my dad was dying. Not last year, the year before. My God, it's 2026.
Dude, 2024. We're going to talk about that next. Go ahead.
But that was May of 2024 he passed away. But I sold his house during that time to the nicest couple. And I actually keep in touch with them because we have mutual friends in Wauwatosa.
You guys are the example of like Scotty Nice and how that stuff works.
Yeah.
Like the people that you sold.
We like bonded because
you guys are legit friends.
You know, I didn't want to meet anybody walking through the house because I was afraid of what they were going to say. The house was in need of repair because my parents were not well.
And it was their life. Like that's your lifetime house.
Yeah.
And so I could understand that would be like a personal gut to hear people tear apart.
I pulled up to it just as the realtor was walking out with this couple and I'm like, shit, like I'm right in front of the house. I can't hide. And I met them and they were so nice. And you know, we had so much in common. We found out we have mutual friends in the area. They're so kind and they bought the house and I'm friends with them on Facebook. Like they're really nice. She, I think, teaches at the elementary school I went to growing up.
That's crazy.
So I have this recurring dream that my dad is still alive, but he's sick. And my parents have left stuff like in the house. They have like a room in that house still, but they have to call ahead and say, hey, can we come stay in our room to the people who own it now? And I keep telling them, you need to get out of that house. Like you can't be in that house anymore.
Panic dreams about that. Huh?
Is that panic?
I have
this dream probably 3 times a week. And I'm the one who has to call them and be like, hey, can my parents come and stay in their room?
I mean, it's not, would you say it's a nightmare or does it cause discomfort? I mean, then again, we've talked about your dreams are fucking bad.
I wouldn't say it's not panic, but it's definitely like, it's a little bit of, hey, we need to get you out of that house. It's not yours anymore.
Okay.
And it's really weird. I had it again last night.
I mean, I guess, and way not to the frequency of yours 3 times a week. That's nuts. But
I lived there for like 6 years too, but it was like my high school partial college. So it was very formative. So,
and then after that too, right? I mean, your son.
Well, yes, son grew up. That was his grandparents'
house. Yes. Then the years after that, you had many memories of, you know, being there pregnant and then bringing your
true. So 20 something years.
Yeah. Think about it like that. I have a dream probably, this is going to kill you. 3 to 4 times a year.
Pat and I we've come to this realization in our marriage that he barely dreams.
Yeah.
And when he does, it usually upsets him.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And I dream every night vividly.
And she loves it.
And sometimes it's really fun.
Yeah.
Last night I had a dream about my dad, which was nice. Even though he was sick in my dream, he was still alive.
Mine instead are like those, you know, really bad AI videos that like go wrong.
Those are called slop, by the way. There's literally a name for it. They're called slop.
The AI slop, you know, when you paid that weird Russian company to animate your grandparents' wedding day photos from 1943.
That's called AI slop.
And then, like, your great-great-grandfather turns into a goat halfway through. That's, yeah, my dreams are upsetting like that.
He loses a foot or something. You're like, I've had
a dream now, I'd say 3 to 4 times a year, which I probably dream 6 to 10 times a year.
It's crazy.
I love it. I love it. It's fantastic. Death will be easy for me. It is an ever-ending sleep of darkness. The dream is, and I'm sure I could get we could get real nerdy and psychological on it. It revolves around either our last home or the home before in Plover, Wisconsin, but mainly the home in Grand Blanc, Grand Burton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, we lived in that one way longer.
Yeah. And it's all about we sold it and we have to move. And remember, too, and this is where I'm going to get weird and psychological. Both moves are because we got fucking shit canned from a job.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing when you were in the radio circus back then. Like when you lost a job.
It may sound very vicious, but trust me, it's not. And
it's
the
just
radio
part
business,
of it, right? Yeah.
They downsize to save money. They're usually the morning show is the first
get
to go.
Get the fuck out. And then for those of us who were part of the circus, it's like you can't just then go work at, you know, another station. There are none. And you have to move.
Or they say you can't work at another station.
Yeah, you're
in
legally
town.
Not allowed to. So, but I've had these dreams twice now where I'm in one of the old houses, mainly Grand Burton, and it's the same thing where it's like, we need to get the fuck out today.
Yeah.
And it's usually like the homeowners are going to be here at noon to take over the keys. And I've had all this time to pack up.
And you didn't.
And I didn't. And which I know AJ right now has figured out, and I'll tell you guys, revolves around our last house, right?
Yeah.
Because we sold it during the height of all the chaoticness,
pandemic,
the pandemic. We got whacked from the gig. So we're moving. People are paying way too much for homes. It's before the interest rates spiked.
Yeah.
So it was one of those where
now in hindsight, they weren't paying that much.
Yeah, no, now they I'm glad they fucking held on to it. But it was a real weird chaotic time where, you know, sellers kind of had the upper hand huge.
Yeah.
And I remember we closed the deal and it was one of those like, hey, we're going to need to be in the house for this amount of time. And real estate agents will tell you they work these deals all the time. Usually you pay the people rent, right? Because they're going to officially take over the house. And of course, because of the weird time of the sale of the house, this is all in real life. The sellers were like, you do you, boo, right? Like they were
out when you need
they
to get
were
out.
Like, how much time do you need? It is rent free.
It worked out so
they
great.
Were like the most accommodating, beautiful young
buyers,
family coming out of Flint, where I'm like, let me get you the fuck out of Flint. Come up to Grand Burton, great schools, low taxes. Absolutely no one plows the snow. Just know that.
Well, that's Michigan in general.
That's the three of that subdivision where we lived. But, you know, they were so accommodating, but there was this time where AJ left. She took the great American road trip across the country with her animals, her dog, her snake, staying in shady hotels that I booked her into. I book her into like Breaking Bad hotels
in
New Mexico.
You guys, the one he booked me in Albuquerque, Jesus. I wouldn't even sleep under the covers. It was so gross.
Glad you had that experience. Toughen you up
too.
A little bit.
It was fun.
Toughen you up. Like, is someone getting fucked next door or getting murdered? I don't know.
I think it was both.
Maybe the same thing. But so you had left and you're out here. And my basic task was getting our son through his final weeks of school. Because, again, it was pandemic time, so there wasn't going to be any big, you know, graduation stuff. So it was like pack up the house and we were using pods. Because I'm a cheap Polack and I have moved 97.
Movie pods are pretty great.
I've moved 97 times in my life. And when a corporation's paying for it, yes, I hire movers, motherfucker. When I'm paying for it, I go the cheapest route.
So his job this entire time that I was here in Arizona setting up the house, because we already owned it.
Yeah, like we were getting into that moment, right?
We had packed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still a lot to go.
There were a lot to
go. And Pat was like, you go, I will pack up the rest of the house and get us out to Arizona on a plane.
And I don't know if it's, it was that panic inducing for me, but that moment obviously has triggered something where I will go to, if I happen to dream, that place where it's like, holy shit.
Isn't that interesting? We both have kind of the same dreams.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Bizarre.
Life next is weird. Next week we have on a dream expert.
Right? I don't believe any of that shit.
Well, folks, it is 2026. Welcome on into the first episode of our podcast for this new year. And to your point right there, you are the second person now who's done that to me in the new year where you said, yeah, so my dad, my dad died in last year. Well, no, hold on. Actually, now it's 2024. Fuck, yeah. Is that like 2 years ago? I had a client do that same thing using the pandemic as a marker where he goes, well, yeah, you know, when the pandemic was going on 3 years ago, he goes, well, no, that's five or... Hold on, is it six now?
It's 6 years right? ago, and I think all of us feel like it was yesterday. Jesus.
But yeah, here we are. It's 2026. How much of a shit show has it been already for you guys?
Why does it have to be this way?
I know, Packers fans right now, you're listening to us.
I know, I'm sorry,
it's
guys.
It's Sunday, January 11th. You guys are just waking up with a hangover from last night motherfucker.
Did you see what our friend posted on our Facebook post? Because I did.
Yes. I know what he's talking about, and I don't want to have to explain to him why it's not like that.
It's not like that anymore.
But I know what he's talking about.
So we posted about
the
game.
Do you want to
list.
Tell this story? This is the craziest since, you know, this is a great way to talk about the Bears-Packers game without me gloating as a Bears fan, which I'm not, by the way. Well, great play.
I want to give you credit, and that's why I
Thank
laughed.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we posted last night, you know, hey, great game. Pat took a picture of me passed out on the couch cuddling the cat.
She was, like, after the game, she was so, like, adrenaline. Dump. She's sitting there just all
I was sleeping
all
with the
tuckered
cat.
Out
and I we even said like you know good game like seriously good game Packers game. Fans great season
listen I don't know what to tell you somehow my Bears are the comeback kids
I don't know
they just they're like literal hibernating Bears where they just kind of sleep for a while and then once they get out and shake it off it's like oh, okay
they've done that how many times this season where they come back in the second quarter?
The fourth quarter comeback kids.
So we posted it and said, great season, Packers.
Great
seriously,
game,
the
everybody.
Games that the Bears played against the Packers were incredible.
Yeah, they were great.
And our friend basically said, hey, you don't have to like coddle Packers fans anymore. I think you're past that.
Yeah.
And it's because.
Oh, boy. Here's the story.
We had this discussion this morning about it. Pat, obviously from Chicago, Bears fan. I grew up in Wisconsin, but my family didn't watch football. My mom's family that's from Chicago did watch football. So I was always just exposed to Bears, Chicago Bears. Yeah. So I'm like, if I'm going to pick an allegiance, it's going to be the Bears.
So your family was technically, your Milwaukee family were NASCAR people.
They were NASCAR. No, we didn't watch the Packers game ever.
Her grandmother was so NASCAR that when we were country music radio,
oh, God.
And we didn't know. I mean, it was tough because it was before country went real pop. So it was when it was still a little bit more boots and fucking cowboys. And we were like, fuck, we need to like somehow get country. And that's when I go, how do we talk NASCAR? Your grandmother was such a NASCAR nerd. Yeah. We had her on the show once a week.
Yeah, she was NASCAR granny. And
she'd preview the weekend's races, and she was good.
My grandfather had just died, and my grandma needed something to do, so we had her on the show as NASCAR granny. Anyways, I'm just not a Packers fan.
Yeah, so you were not exposed. You're not the green and gold gal.
So I do put my allegiance on the Bears, because that's my mom's side of the family.
And your husband.
And my husband.
And your son.
Which was always really weird to people when we worked in radio in Wisconsin. They're like, why aren't you a Packers fan?
They did, because I wore that shit on my sleeve, and I know it was weird back in the old radio days, and again everything now is very out loud, so there's no secrets, right? Like I go back to the professional wrestling thing, but there was a point in time when as a traveling radio circus monkey you'd show up somewhere and wherever that was they'd go, all right, listen here, you fucking little monkey. This is your corporate programmer, and what I need you to do is talk for your local man. I want you to learn the names of all the high schools, and here's the name of the football team that you're going to cheer on now. And no one would really know, because you were a new voice on this radio station.
They didn't know where you
came from. You'd show up, and they're like, listen, Joe Jerkoff on the radio, he's saying go Pack go. Now, what they don't know is Joe Jerkoff is actually from upstate New York. Yeah, right. He's part of the Bills Mafia, and he fucking hates the Packers.
But
now,
he'll become a Packers fan just because he
just for
there.
That. Now, these days, again, because of the fact-checking nature, you can live a little bit more out loud. But when we were doing the tour of Wisconsin, I always thought as a great bit, I go, what a better way to stand out, because every other morning radio show
pretends to be a Packers fan.
Yeah, or they are.
Or they are.
Or they are, right? And I'm like, I could be the one guy where
I'm the jerk.
Yeah, like I'm the MJF. I'm the heel. I'm the bad guy. I can go on the air and be, I'm the Bears guy. And like, there's that fib. Oh, that Pat and AJ. Pat's a fib. And then, but inherently then, what they expected out of you, being the Scotty born and bred, was
she's going to be the counterbalance of Go Pack Go.
And I wasn't.
And you were always like, team, yeah.
I could give a shit about football.
Didn't you have to when you, this is before the Pat and AJ thing, you were doing the ladies' room.
Yes.
A night radio show.
In Appleton, Wisconsin.
Back when, Jesus Christ, it was still a big deal to get like women on the air back then. Isn't that funny? You could like point it out.
Oh, yeah.
That's how cliche it was. You'd be like, look, there's a woman.
That's, I know.
Working at night.
I thought about that today. I'm like,
how fucked up is that?
I'm like, I'm so old. I worked in radio when it was weird to have women on the air alone.
Oh, my goodness. So you were on the air at night. This is what, 2008?
Seven, eight.
And you had to host some kind of like pack because you were on the air in Green Bay and Appleton. Yeah. You literally were in the lion's den. So that's the world of, hey, Baird, you got to be a Packers fan.
Yeah.
So you had to host something. And remember you.
I had to buy. I had to host a Packers party.
Yes. Like for the station.
I went to Walmart and bought a Packers shirt because I had never owned a Packers, any of Packers apparel in my entire life. I was on the air the night that Brett Favre quit. Retired? Did he retire or quit?
It was a retirement until he unretired to go back and lose a few more seasons.
Quit, basically.
Yeah. yeah.
And I just remember walking into the studio, and the guy who did afternoons was a lifelong, I think he was from Kakana. So he was like born and bred there.
Yeah.
One of the deepest Packer fans. He was almost in tears.
Parents lived right by Lambeau. Yes. I remember the one game I went to Lambeau, we parked at his house. He was like, dude, just come by my parents' house, park in the driveway.
I walk in, you know, we switch off shifts. He turns around, his face is red. I can tell he's been crying. Yeah. And he goes, don't talk about it. Just don't talk about it. And I'm like
the fucking Pope does.
It was. And I was like, well, what the hell else am I supposed to talk about tonight?
The whole town is talking about it.
And
what do you say?
So I went on the air and talked. I just opened the phone line and said, hey, call in, you know, complain, cry. I don't care anyways.
Such a great move.
But I also made it clear that I'm not a Packers fan. I'm like, but I know everybody's upset about it.
Yeah.
So we did this traveling radio circus where Pat was a Bears fan. And in Wisconsin, it was a great, like, it was a great way for people to kind of love hate you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very cute, I mean, and listen, I was a Bears fan in Wisconsin during the rise of Aaron Rodgers.
The golden years.
Before everyone was like, he's a fucking weirdo and all that. But like when Aaron Rodgers was the dude who somehow came in after Brett Favre and replicates, if not surpasses him, and takes you to a Super Bowl. And I'm sitting there with smoking Jay Cutler. I'm sitting there with smoking Jay Cutler, who famously didn't give a fuck, sat on the sidelines. Sparked a Marlboro light, went back to the Trump Tower and banged his reality show wife. It was a
tough time.
It was horrible
for Pat to be a Bears fan.
But it was great then because then it's like the on air dynamic was everyone's like, well, that's our fib. There's our old Pat. Yeah. You know, he's sad again this Monday.
They would give him shit anytime they saw him in public. You know, with a smile, they'd be like, "Oh, your Bears lost again, huh?" Like it was such great camaraderie with our listeners.
Can I tell you and this is really the antithesis. And I had a interaction like this yesterday that I'll tell you about that I'd love, and I've been telling my son about this because he's all in now. Like he was pseudo kind of like, I'm a Bears fan because my dad is.
Yeah, but the Bears have been disappointing for a decade that it was hard for him to get into it.
He's in now. He's in. And I said, son, I go, this is going to be the most maddening part about this. And he goes, what? I go, besides when the Packers get good for years and decades, I go, the Packers fan base, the true Wisconsinites, are the nicest salt of the earth people. They're not jerk-offs.
No.
And it's going to be hard because you're going to have a rivalry with them. And because you are a Chicagoan by blood and you have this attitude, you're going to want to like attack and they're going to want to give you a hug and a beer. And it's good because it diffuses you.
Yeah.
And everyone gets along. Yesterday, I was swinging by the liquor store, obviously.
That's where you went while I was napping after work. To
get through these games with Cardiac Caleb, you know, you need a little something to help you out. As I'm pulling in, there's a guy walking out, you know, in his Packers hat. And I'm literally in my Bears hat. And I, you know, slow down, roll down the window. I go, hey, he looks over. I go, go Bears. And he kind of laughs. He's like, go back, you know. And we both went our way.
Where, I don't know, if that was like Eagles and Giants fan. They may have like shot at each other, right? Yeah. It's like a different vibe.
But you're also both out of your home state.
Yeah,
that makes a difference.
So it's a little, but that was, I always felt like that's a great example of how that is. So like,
and
like,
it was hard too, because we talked about it this morning, Pat and I, while we were having our coffee. I said, Packers fans are different now than they were when you and I were on the air and you were a Bears fan. They were in their heyday. They were winning everything. They were good years. Anytime the Packers lost, fans would blame the refs. They'd say that wasn't fair.
They were very much still something must have gone wrong.
It was very like, there's no way we couldn't win. It must be a mistake. That's how Packers fans were during those days, because you had Aaron Rodgers. It was incredible for you.
Before Packers fans get a little riled up on that one, Bears fans were just as delusional those years, because our only answer to Aaron Rodgers, and I shit you not, was, you know, the refs don't, they don't let you touch them.
Yeah.
they throw, you look at Aaron Rodgers, it's rough in the passer.
Yeah.
Like that, our only response was, he has to be cheating. He's so good.
The only difference between Packers fans and Bears fans during that time is that Packers fans were gloating and Bears fans were whining. That's the only difference.
But you said now you think, because, let's just face it, they're figuring out this is Jordan Love. Not that he's not a great quarterback.
No, he's excellent.
He's not going to be, you're not rolling the dice and getting, 7 or 11 again.
You've had two.
Two.
Legendary quarterbacks
in a row,
back to back in our lifetimes, which that's so rare.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen.
That now you've got a great quarterback, but it's not quite the same.
He's good.
And I said that, I'm like, my Packers fans friends on social media today are just like, man, we blew it. Like everybody's like humbled about it. They're like, okay, well, next season, And I said, it's a different vibe now. And
It's because they want to win. And if you want to win, and this is where we lift it up out of sports talk, right? This is a lesson in life. We learned this when we got fired from one of our jobs, from one of the big head honchos as they fired us. And it was really meant in a positive manner. It's when we got the gig in Flint. One of them reached out to me and they said, hey, heard about you getting the gig in Flint. That's great. Celebrate your wins, but make sure you learn from your losses.
Yes.
And I think that's where legitimately the Packers fans are today, saying, okay,
what do we do different?
How do we learn from this? Because we can't just show up next year.
Instead of saying it was the ref's fault, they're like, what do we do better next
year? Or like the Bears are a fluke. Oh, they're a fluke. Oh, this whole fourth quarter thing's a fluke.
This will never happen again.
No, you guys should have beat the life out of them. The problem is, it's like Michael Myers. They just keep coming back.
I had that realization at my last Irish dance competition. Not the big one, the regionals, because that I just straight up messed up. But I danced like my best, and I felt like I danced well, and I didn't place. And I said, I've got to get this foot surgery because this is not doing me any good. Yeah. I am learning from my losses, and my losses, the comments were all the same from the judges. They're like, you're not up on your toes. I can't get up on my toes because of this foot injury. Yep. I got to get it fixed. So now I got it fixed.
Yeah. What do you do differently if you want different results in life? If it's a football game or dancing,
you got to do something
or
different.
Your career. Yes. What can you do differently?
You know, it was funny last night. We had friends over. We've talked about them before, my friends that I've known basically my entire life that moved from Milwaukee. They moved all over the country, Army.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Air Force. Apologize.
How dare
sorry.
You. Don't you know the difference between the Army and Air Force? Army wakes up around 5:30 in the morning. Air Force, 11:30, 12.
Okay.
Slide
Air Force, they left Milwaukee, moved all over the world, and then settled here in Tucson, and so did we. So now we hang out. Our son, they brought their kids. Our son called their daughter, because they were all cheering for the Packers, and our son called their daughter a Sconny. And we all quick snapped up, and we were like, she's never lived in Wisconsin.
That's right.
She was born... Was she born in Alaska or Japan? I think both kids were born in Japan. Both of the kids, I think, were born in Japan. Either way, none of them were born in Wisconsin. None of them lived in Wisconsin.
But it's their parents.
But because their parents and their parents' parents are Packers fans, they're Packers fans. But that's just like our son. Our son never lived in Chicago. But his parents are Bears fans. So that's his affiliation.
And we could apply. Crazy. You can take it and really isn't that a metaphor for 90 million different things in life, right? People have said, why are you Lutheran? Well, I was raised, my family's Lutheran, right? That's like my best friend. He's a bunch of German, Lutherans. I remember AJ tells this story Just so all you, you know, youngins think that your political anger is new. No, no, no. I think 20 years ago when she was in college and an idealistic college person, you had a boyfriend and there was an election in 04. When you asked him why he was voting the way he was voting, what he said to you was, well, my parents are all of that party. So it was kind of like the same thing.
Yeah.
Why are you going to church Catholic? Well, my family's Catholic. Why are you voting for that party? Well, my family votes for that. And then you can extend it. Sports, right? Why do you cheer for this? My family does this.
And I had changed my views from my parents' views. They had their own political views.
Yeah, you were one of those who were like figuring it out, right?
Yeah, I figured it out for myself. So when he's like, I'm going to vote how my parents vote, I was pissed. I was like,
what
are you doing? No, you need to understand. And there's a lot of people too who just like, picked a team growing up. You know how everybody had those the Hornets jackets.
Charlotte Hornets pullover starter jacket remained the. I don't think anyone actually ever watched the Hornets game.
No, you just had the jacket.
It was the hardest jacket in the history of jackets, and if you wore one, you were legit.
Yeah, there's people who picked fandoms growing up
that
weren't local, and they still are fans now.
Oh man,
isn't that crazy?
It was an incredible.
I have said this, and it came up in a Facebook memory yesterday. For my entire life, I've been yay sports. I don't care.
And that really became your brand. If my brand back in the Pat and AJ days was the Bears guy, which it was awesome because we ended up working in like rival cities all the time. We were in Wisconsin and Michigan, so you had the Packers and the Lions, although definitely a lot more heat from Packers fans and Lions fans. Your brand then turned into the Yay Sports because we started doing dumb shit like AJ's Pigskin Picks.
Yes, and I was picking the winners for that week based on nothing that had to do with football.
Yeah, like she would literally, like the one I remember was when Tony Romo was still playing for the Cowboys, and you literally, it was when he was dating Jessica Simpson, and you were like, you know what? I don't like that Jessica Simpson. So who are the Cowboys playing? The Eagles. I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Yeah, it was nonsensical.
So yeah, so your brand literally was the I don't care. I mean, yay sports. You like throwing the party for the snacks, right? Yeah. We would always throw a Super Bowl party.
We would. And I would vote. I mean, I would cheer for whatever, as in like wear their shirt.
Yeah, she would just pick a team.
I would sit in the kitchen and drink with my girlfriends and just eat snacks the whole game. I didn't even know. I didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
But for the first time in my life now, I've watched several Bears games all the way through.
Like, and she's watching. Like, she's sitting next to me looking up.
And I it's really weird because a Facebook memory came up the other day where I said, hey, I don't care about sports and I never will, so don't force it. I think I actually give a shit now.
Give a shit. You're in.
I think I understand it now.
Dude, she was online today trying to buy a shirt. She, like, last night after the win, she goes, you know, I've been wearing this Bear shirt for a while.
I've been wearing it for, like, 10 years. I have the same Bear shirt she's I've been like, wearing forever.
Maybe I should get another. I'm like, oh, my God, she's in.
I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it was cute, too. I showed up at my mom's place. She was wearing a Bear shirt because, you know, she was brought up in the suburbs of Chicago. Her whole family's Bears fans. My grandmother was a Bears fan. It was really cute. I was like, yeah, I can get behind this. Like, it's definitely a family thing. But, yeah, it's really weird. That was an incredible game last night, though. I struggled to stay awake, but that's just because I'm on painkillers from my surgery. It was a tough night.
Shout out to all the Bears fans who have now made it a national pastime to apparently pull out cheese shredders and blocks of cheese.
Oh, my God.
The shredder. It's gotten upped every week.
Yeah.
Do you feel it?
Because – who wasn't wearing a cheese shredder hat the first time?
Well, the way it starts is, so the lineage, if you don't know, starts with the obvious cheese heads.
Yes.
The cheese head hats. The Packers wear these cheese heads, right? And what do you do with cheese? You grate cheese, right? You break it down. So I don't know when and where it officially started.
It's like a couple of people started wearing cheese grater hats.
Like, it was kind of a spoof. It was like, oh, look, you guys are going to wear your cheese head hats. We'll wear theirs. And again, it's kind of tough to do because the Bears have sucked for so long.
Yeah, it's like you don't really want to shit talk the Packers because you know they're going to win.
Yeah.
Like, so it was actually kind of incredible to see people like pushing back and wearing cheese grater hats. And then it's, you know what it seems like? It seems like they picked up and like somebody just started making them. They're like, I can make money off these with these foam cheese
from
grater hats.
What it sounds like is that it is a legitimate small business. And I know the Chicago locals, if you look up all the TV news stations, like, you know, the local news, they've done the stories on it. It's a family. Yeah. It is as local and as feel good as you can get. It's a local family in the area who runs a business making this kind of stuff, and they started manufacturing them because they saw it. And then DJ Moore decided to wear one on TV.
Yes.
And that's all it took. And now everyone is wearing them. Even last night after the game, I know the Packers fans didn't hang out for the post game, but if you watch the post game, Caleb and Moore and everyone comes out, not only with the hats on.
What I was going to say is it's escalated quickly because last night there were many people at Soldier Field.
With what?
With actual cheese graters, yes, and blocks of cheese. They were grating cheese during the game.
There's a great Instagram.
It almost looks like a cowbell almost, but they're grating cheese.
It literally, there's an Instagram of a Packers fan getting so pissed because there's a guy behind
grating
cheese. And every time he wants to give him shit, and the poor Packer guy, he's the only guy. He turns around and his Bears buddy puts his hand on his back, which is universal guy code for shut the fuck up.
Just like relax.
You don't want this heat. Just let the guy grate the cheese, you know? But yeah, so like you said, it went from the hats
to actual cheese
to all of a sudden two games, it's actual cheese.
Like, there are people walking through security with cheese graters and blocks of cheese.
I mean, I know you can get, this is like a little known fact for a lot of Major League Baseball parks. You can bring a decent amount of food into a game.
I had no idea.
I had no idea either until I went to a Bears game years ago with my buddy, the Mad Dog, and it was me and him. And I remember him saying, he goes, hey, do you want me to make some sandwiches? And I go, well, what the fuck? You want to eat ham sandwiches on like the train as we go down there? He goes, no, we during the game. And I go, they're not going to let that in. He goes, no, dude, they do.
That's crazy.
I know, and then so I kind of was like looking on, and it's kind of specific to certain things you can bring it. Obviously, you know, alcohol.
Yeah.
But like water, I think like sealed water you can get in.
Kudos so people to obviously all the Packers are like fans who brought the blocks. I would love to know what kind of cheese you were grating. I'm very curious.
It was different kinds. It was funny to watch the Packers fan, the biggest one in our house last night. He did get more upset when he saw the Bears fans grating cheese because he's like, it's a waste of cheese.
It was incredible. It was fun having a Packers-Bears party last night. We had Packers fans, Bears, and everybody was just playfully giving shit.
Everyone loved each other. We even had really two fun teenage boys, which could lead to bad things.
They were flipping each other off and stuff. Yeah. It was great.
But it all worked out, and we hugged at the end.
Yes.
Let that be a lesson to us all.
Yes.
Orange and blue get along with green and gold, and onward and upward in 2026. Go Bears.
Fare you well, my honey. Fare you well, my only true love. All the birds that were singing are flown, except you alone. I'm gonna leave this broken down palace on my hands and my knees. I will row, 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 make myself a man by the water side. In my time, I will row, 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 in a bed. In a bed by the waterside, I will lay my head, listen to the river sing sweet songs to rock my soul. I
river gonna take me. Sing me sweet and sleepy. Sing me sweet and sleepy all the way back home. It's a far gone lullaby. We sung it many years ago. Mama, mama, many worlds I've come since I first left home. Going home, I'm going home by the waterside. I will rest my bones, listen to the river, sing sweet songs to rock my soul. Going to plant a weeping willow on the banks and green edge, and it will grow, grow, grow. Sing a lullaby beside the water. Lovers come and go, the river rolls. Sing sweet songs to rock my soul.
Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.